You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention trust and will. Trust and will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. Now, the government has been advised to tax the mileage on cars as a way of compensating for the loss in tax income from petrol and diesel. This is because of the transition to EVs on our roads. Now, the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council issued the recommendation because fuel revenues are expected to fall significantly. But will this potential charge remove the incentive for us to make the switch to EVs? Well, I'm joined by partner in Deloitte, Daryl Hanbury, and on the line by motoring correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail, Philip Nolan. And you're both welcome to the programme. Daryl, are you surprised to see this suggestion? Because we are at a kind of a pivotal point, aren't we, in the transition to EVs, where it has to be very attractive for people to do it.
No, absolutely. And I think, to be fair to the Fiscal Advisory Council, their role is to provide a level of stability and independence on the view of the state of the Exchequer finances. And their paper, which runs to 50 plus pages, I believe, I think talks about that transition and that gradual introduction. But it is a thing to start considering now. So it is a piece where you've already seen a significant fall in motor taxation as cars have got more energy efficient. Now, when you're moving from combustion engines to electric vehicles, that becomes more pronounced and does have an
So impact. The problem is real in that the revenue from this is going to fall. Clearly, that is going to happen and is already happening. So that gap has to be plugged.
And I think that piece, so if you monitor what the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council do, they are trying to make sure that our tax base is as broad as possible. So you've heard frequently on how we have a significant reliance on corporation tax receipts. This is just another strand. So if we, for example, didn't move to some other form of taxation, we'd be eliminating a portion of taxation that broadens the base and that provides a stable income for the state.
Okay, well, one listener says, and we've lots of feedback already on this, EV electricity is already taxed because we all pay tax on our bills. The government is incentivizing us to go EV in one hand and it's counterproductive to add extra cost with the other. Give us an inch of a break. The government is swimming in money already from the big corporations. Philip, you'd expect, wouldn't you, that there would be a massive pushback against this suggestion?
I would, because to me it seems like it discriminates immediately against rural drivers. If people live in Dublin, they can walk to the corner shop, they can probably walk to the doctor's surgery, whatever. In the country, you have to actually drive. You know, there's no public transport. And once again, this is putting the cart before the horse. We need good public transport in place long before we consider new forms of taxation on people who actually have to drive rather than want to drive.
Mm-hmm. But you can understand from the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, their job is to look at the numbers. And there is going to be a hole here that we'll need to be filled. It's how you do it. Isn't that the question?
Well, exactly. I mean, there is talk, you know, it'll be based on the odometer, it'll be checked during the NCT, whatever. But the problem, unfortunately, is that rural people do not have the choice but to drive at the moment. It's that simple. And, you know, you want to go to your local Lidl, but you live in South Kerry, you could be driving 40 or 50 kilometres once a week to a supermarket, and that's going to cost you money. And the argument will be, well, it costs you money already because you pay more in petrol and diesel. But there are people around the country now who have got kind of wise, and they have solar charging for their car, which pays for itself in about 6 years. And after that, it's completely free. So there are so many multiple strands to this that have to be considered, that haven't been considered yet, well, I think.
Here's another suggestion, Philip. I'm sure you've heard this one before, but a listener says they should be taxed by weight because the size of some EVs are crazy and they cause hazards in car parks. That'd be another way to slice it, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, and I would agree with that. It already happens in Paris, and you know that's a choice, and that's what it all boils down to. You can buy a heavier EV or you buy a smaller EV like a Dacia Spring or whatever Hyundai Inster, which costs you less than €20,000, or you buy a massive big one like a Mercedes or a BMW or a Tesla or whatever. So the weight thing I can understand because that basically boils down to choice. But what I don't understand is distance, because you can't do anything about that.
Mm-hmm. So, Daryl, just to come back to the economics of this, like, I get that the hole will be there and will need to be plugged. But on the other side of this, there will still need to be an incentive for people to transition from their fossil fuel car to EVs. That's the balance that needs to be struck, right?
Absolutely. And I think, look, when we publish our pre-budget submissions in Deloitte, we're very focused on tax policy being used to shape certain reactions and certain courses of action. So I think the Fiscal Advisory Council paper is not saying we're doing that immediately. Clearly, like we're probably 12 months off or 12 months ago when we were talking that the EV bubble had burst, that we weren't having a huge number of EVs, and Philip will know better than I will, but that has obviously picked up again. The majority of people are moving to EVs predominantly on a cost basis. So they're doing it because it's cheaper to run and there's cheaper taxes involved. Philip mentioned the solar panel charging, etc. I think that can't be lost sight of as we move, because actually what's in the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council paper is the cost of inaction. So the cost of not transitioning to green energies, green modes of transport actually become quite significant. So they create a different hole in our public finances, whether that is EU carbon taxes or whatever. But I think what they're trying to do is a balance, that we need to make sure that we have transitioned to energy efficient equipment because that will save us costs in the long run, but also acknowledging that there's going to be a hole in exchequer receipts.
Yeah, but does that hole have to be filled, the motor tax hole?
I think it goes back to that broad-based taxation policy. So if you get to a scenario where, 35% of our total tax is coming from corporation tax, of which half of that is coming from 10 multinational companies. What you don't want to have is even more reliance on that area. Again, there are multiple ways to do it. So I'm not sure a mileage-based taxation is going to be the big filler. It's just one element of a number of tax measures. Our own pre-budget submission talked about trying to stimulate the domestic economy to be less reliant on that multinational economy. But ultimately, it does need to be filled because we're spending it. We're investing in capital projects. We're paying our.
But it doesn't
servants.
Necessarily have to come from EV drivers or from motorists.
No, it doesn't. But at the same point, there's always been a history of taxing motorists, whether that's motor tax, whether that's VRT. I think what's easiest for government is to replace what's currently there rather than
precedent doesn't make it right.
Well, look, income tax was a temporary tax, and then we saw in the USC was a temporary tax, and we saw how governments liked the levels of revenue being brought in there. So you're absolutely right. You can just see the rationale behind it, and the rationale for road tax is that we want road users to pay for the maintenance of the roads, what they're using, etc. Obviously it'll be a government policy, they can decide to do something else. Okay. But
Philip, just coming back to what Daryl touched on there about about 12 months ago we saw sales of EVs dropping. That seems to have turned around because in the main the price of them has come down quite a bit, but you have this government scrappage scheme as well. Is that working?
Yes, it is. I mean, there's been 20,000 registered so far this year, and there's about 200,000 in total on the roads in Ireland at the moment. Eamon Ryan talked about 1 million electric vehicles by 2030. That's not going to happen, obviously. But there is definitely a move. After a little blip, there is a move now to more EVs because they are cheaper. They usually actually, funnily enough, are about the same price as the hybrid version of a car because of the grants. So, yeah, there's definitely a move to it. But the problem for a lot of people, I suppose, is, you know, range anxiety is an issue. But the range has also improved. The batteries have improved. So I think that we will see definitely a greater uptake on electric vehicles over the coming years.
Yeah, but we are seeing the price of charging going up, aren't we?
Too? I know.
That's another
counter factor
for people.
Now, in fairness, it's only public charging, but I mean, it's up to 85 cents, I should say, per kilowatt hour, which is ridiculous. I mean, that's as expensive, if not more so, than petrol or diesel per kilometre driven. But at home, with solar panels, you can actually recharge basically for free once the outlay for the solar panels is recouped. So you're fine. It's only when you have to go to, like, for instance, my nephew and his wife have a new baby in Donegal. So, you know, going to Donegal is going to cost a lot of money on public chargers. But by and large, for daily motoring, most people do it at home.
And just coming back to what Darrell was saying about the precedent being there for using the roads, do you think that EV drivers will accept an additional level of taxation for using the road network?
I think that EV drivers in urban areas will probably understand it a little better. Holland, for instance, already charges for road use by distance travelled, but there is a regional surcharge. So you pay less the further you live from civilization, as it were, than you do in bigger urban areas. And I think that sort of thing has to be looked at here as well, because rural people are sick to the back teeth of being made pay so much more for everything when there isn't public transport available over their, you know, cousins in Dublin.
Mm-hmm. A listener says, I'm paying 710 road tax per year. I drive between 5 and 10,000 kilometres annually. EVs and other low CO2 emission vehicles pay as little as 180 per year. And this listener says, my car is low emission, but unfortunately was registered in 2006. The same vehicle with a 2008 registration pays just €270. Now, Philip, you're the expert on this. If the car was registered in 2006, could it be low emissions?
I doubt it, because, I mean, we've risen emission standards, have emissions are Euro 6, I think, at the moment. But also, 2008 is an interesting year, because on the 1st of July 2008, the motor tax on diesel was actually lowered and everybody went diesel instead of petrol. And look at diesel now, it's gone through the floor. Governments should not meddle in the motor industry. They haven't a clue, to be honest with you.
Right, fair enough. That is the bottom line. But Darrell, you're in no doubt that the government will try and recoup what they're losing in motor tax from other motorists.
I think they'll have to recoup from somewhere, and I think when
most
you look
likely
at it,
most likely road users,
but you'll also use it on a climate basis. So it's not just on mileage. It might be, you know, we talked about tolling. You know, I think the M50 tolling has always been talked about, where it's a 1 point tolling system instead of tolling as you go around the M50. I think you could see that. You could see congestion charges. I think, you know, we would always say you look at tax policy and what is the behavior you're trying to influence. You're probably trying to reduce, you know, motoring in general, move people to public transport. But as Philip says, you need to have that infrastructure in place.
And you're trying to get more money into the coffers as well, which is always a motivation.
Balance the books, Claire.
Darrell, thanks so much. Darrell Hanbury, partner in Deloitte, and Philip Nolan, who's motoring correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.